Blog Talk Radio.
Month of July. I am your host, author, speaker, voiceover artist, certified holistic health and lifestyle coach, Jessie Blair Myrie Horry, also known as Coach Jessie. I am simply coming to you today from the Northeast, and indeed I just want to share with you what I have come to learn and understand years ago. That no one diet is perfect for everyone, and as in the words of Hippocrates, let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food. All right, today's topic, moving on to it. It is all about how exercise can help treat depression and anxiety. How exercise can help treat depression and anxiety. The reason why I come to you in reference to this is that one of several things, we're in this summer months, well, at least where I am anyway, and it's wonderful to get outside, to get outdoors. And if you're not into the mundane like myself, I'm not into the mundane, I just can't take the same exercising all the time, get out, get some fresh air, get some vitamin D. It's important for that. Also, another factor of this show is because depression and anxiety is at its all-time high when people experience hardship and when people experience a loss in the family or sickness and disease, things of that nature. So these are just things that we can help to cope with what we're going through. So when it comes to, like, feeling the blues, yeah, you can easily get over any little minuscule thing like losing a pair of earrings, and that's happened to me, or if your favorite character dies on TV. But clinical depression can be long-lasting and debilitating. And so we look at symptoms that include a change in appetite, loss of energy, and feelings of helplessness. And those who suffer from depression often experience significant anxiety as well. So they somewhat go hand in hand. They're like siblings, depression and anxiety. But one particular route to recovery may start with something that you put on your feet, known as sneakers. Or some people say workout shoes, or whatever you want to call it. Just those things that you put on that keep you going and get you going. And hopefully they'll have some shock absorbency in it, as well as good grip. So consistent exercise can join the ranks with other treatments for depression and anxiety, helping to boost your mood, combat feelings of gloom, and prepare the brain to better handle stress. So that's what exercise does for you. Get moving. It's also very important, by the way. It's an anti-aging agent, to say the least. Because if you've noticed anybody who you'll see would be considered elderly, and you look at them and say, wow, you don't age at all, or you haven't, trust me, there's some movement involved in their body. They just don't sit sedentary. They just don't do that. So movement is important. So battling the blues, what's the deal? Health professionals give regular exercise a gold star for helping prevent disease, keeping off excess weight and eating, spicing up your you-know-what life. Whoopee! Another benefit is that different types of physical activity, from aerobic exercise to Qigong, can help lessen depressive symptoms. So you don't have to be a marathon runner, or should I say, I heard Mike Tyson's coming out of retirement to fight. You don't have to be like Mike Tyson. If you don't know who he is, you're living under a rock. He's like, was, I should say, one of the best boxers in the world. But you don't have to be an extreme athlete to get the job done and to help lessen depressive symptoms. So go. You just have to do something and be consistent with it. One study found walking and jogging a few times a week was generally as effective as antidepressants in reducing symptoms of depression. So if you're on antidepressants, start walking or jogging or doing some form of exercise that you like, something that intrigues you, something that says, wow, I want to do this again, and see what happens. Probably you'll have to, or which was a good thing, you'll have to have less of those antidepressant drugs, which have too many side effects in the first place. Anything that is not natural will have some serious side effects. But it's not only aerobic workouts that do the trick. Research has found depressed elderly people who trained at high intensities several times weekly saw improvement in their quality of life and sleep. So, by the way, there's extra credit for the older folks who are hitting the weight room, too. I know it's hard now that we're in this pandemic and gyms are still closed, but if you have some lightweight, some free weights at home, definitely do that. And once again, extra credit for the elderly who are doing that. Besides increasing levels of feel-good endorphins, scientists suggest physical activity may work like some antidepressant drugs to alter brain chemistry. Recent research, albeit on mice, found that those who voluntarily ran on wheels had greater amounts of the brain cells that produce the neurotransmitter GABA, GABA, and it's associated with feelings of calm. That's what that is. And they had more of that than those who just sat in their cages. Those are the mice. When all the rodents were placed in ice-cold water, the runners' brains released more of that GABA, meaning they likely felt less anxious in the stressful situation. Now, once again, this study was done on mice. You ain't going to dip a whole human being in some ice cold water now. Although humans do that, those who are trying to recover from injuries or prevent injuries, athletes, they do that. So, it's therapy. It definitely is. But ice therapy, I believe it's called, or something of that nature. But the study done in the mice, they were likely less anxious in a stressful situation when that happened to them. Moreover, staying in shape can also help us gain confidence and distract us from worries. So if you keep yourself busy doing healthy things, like eating right and exercising, you will worry less. That's the whole idea anyway. Research also suggests this effect isn't just temporary. In patients diagnosed with clinical depression, exercise may not only relieve sad symptoms, but could also help diminish symptoms for good. Some psychologists even advocate that mental health professionals prescribe physical activity to treat anxiety and depression the same way they would recommend medication. So, what do you do now? What are you going to do? You're going to sweat away the sadness, of course. There's an answer debate, all right? But gearing up for a workout is rarely a bad idea, rarely. But while exercise may help reduce depression and anxiety, once they've become an issue so far, research hasn't proven that a few laps around the track will prevent the blues from arriving in the first place. One study failed to find evidence that exercise could reduce the risk of depression in vulnerable populations. So it all depends on where you are and what's going on in your area, in your atmosphere. But once again, you've got to take your mind off of the worry. Other research suggests exercise improves depressive symptoms only moderately. Plus, exercise may not help treat depression the same way across the board. So once again, as I always say in the beginning of my show, no one diet is perfect for everyone. What might affect me positively might affect you negatively. So you have to find out what works for you. According to one study, light exercise helps depressed women slightly more than it helps men. So I guess the men have to go hard. I mean, that's how I see it. But who knows? Maybe there are some men. Once again, it's not 100%. Down the line, maybe there are some men who it does help slightly, just as it does the women. So when it comes to anxiety, some scientists say exercise works best in conjunction with medication. Now, I am all for non-medication at first. But there is a reason why the doctors are there, and there are certain medications that are necessary. I don't always believe in going for the drugs first. I always believe in visiting that after. It's like you want to find out basically what's wrong with your car, or maybe not. Well, you have a mechanic, or maybe if you don't, someone might tell you this and it might cost you that, and then you might take it to another mechanic or somewhere else, and they may tell you something totally different and have a totally different cost. Because what they're doing, the mechanics, they're diagnosing the issue that they feel you have based on your description or your explanation of the problem. That's what they're doing. They're just making an assessment, a diagnosis. And so it is with our bodies. We go to the doctor and say, "Doc, you know what? My head is hurting me. It's been hurting me for the past, whatever, 2 weeks perhaps. But maybe the past 2 weeks we've had a heat wave and you've been outside gardening all, you know, for like 4 hours a day." And so there are just certain things. There are factors. So I always believe in looking and trying to assess the problem first. Look at it, assess it, and see what you can do to change it rather than running to the doctor and asking the doctor to prescribe you some form of medication. And next thing you know, you're popping pills, and then you have what is called side effects to the side effects. And you don't want to do that, because then it's a trickle-down effect. It's a domino effect, and it just continues. Well, eventually the dominoes, they'll all have to come down, right? But we don't want that to happen. We don't want, whereas our bodies are such in a vulnerable state that we are depleting because of all of the chemicals that, first of all, we're putting in our bodies based on food and what the food contains. Then on top of that, the drugs, which have so many side effects. It's just hard to believe. What I have done in the past, don't do it anymore because I don't take medications anymore. What I have done in the past is I've read side effects of drugs. There's fine print of these drugs that, you know, it probably either comes in on a separate paper type of thing, label, along with your pills, whatever is your prescription. And so that will come in, obviously, the bottle that they have it in, and your label is on it with your name, the dosage, amount, and but then you'll have all of the details in fine print. And when I say fine print, it's really fine print. So then you'll have all of that, and then you look at what is in these drugs and the side effects. And I guess because of my broadcast background, and I'm so savvy in that respect, I pay attention to the commercials. I don't know if you've ever sat down and listened to a drug being advertised on television or on the radio, and then they go through this list of side effects. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's like, well, why in the world would I take the drug in the first place? I'll probably be worse off than I was before I took the drug. So you have to just weigh everything. But still, it's very important to make physical activity a priority when you're feeling down. Since research suggests people who are depressed are less likely to exercise, it's very important that you tell yourself, say, "Self, we're going to get outside today and do some walking." You don't want to run. That's, you know, maybe it's too hard on your joints, or maybe you're not a runner, or maybe you don't like to run. But, you know, if you have two legs that God blessed you with and you can move them about, just go and walk. Just do some walking. You don't have to do it at the peak hours of the sun, which is between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And I know sometimes that may be a good thing for those who are at work and want to use their lunch break to get out. I used to do that all the time working in corporate America in New York City. I mean, whatever. I didn't care what the weather was. If it's cold outside, I'm gone. I'll put my goose on, my gloves, my hat, my scarf, and I'm out. I'm out the door. I've got to get that daily fresh air. If it's raining, I'm carrying my umbrella. It's just that simple. I'm getting out of the office, which the windows do not open. You're breathing in the same circulated air all day for 8-plus hours, I'd say, because, you know, who works for less than 8 hours nowadays, right? So I would do that. I would get out. So just get out. A therapist can also help create an individual treatment plan for depression that might include some exercise. And you want to get in good eating. Good eating. And there's some other factors that I share with you some other time, probably on my newsletter, but definitely keep in touch if you're not already a part of the Pure and the Holy Living family. I'd love to have you join us. And there is a link on this broadcast page where you can connect. You can just connect and be a part of the family and get all this wonderful, healthy information. Closing out July, today's the last Wednesday in July. August is just 2 days away, or should I say 3 days away? 3 days away. The 1st of August is on Saturday. And so I'm hoping that this more than half of the year has been yielding you well. If not, you're suffering from depression and anxiety, please seek help. Use some of these factors that I just mentioned in today's broadcast that may be able to help you. Now I'm going to move on to Wednesday's Word, and it comes to us from the Billy Graham Evangelist Association, Truth and Fiction. The scripture is taken from Psalm 145:12. Make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Some years ago, I heard about a clergyman who had a friend who was an actor. The actor was drawing large crowds of people, and the clergyman was preaching to a few in the church. He said to his actor friend, "Why is it that you draw great crowds and I have no audience at all? Your words are sheer fiction and mine are unchangeable truth." The actor's reply was quite simple. "I present my fiction as though it were truth. You present your truth as though it were fiction." I fear that so often we Christians get the idea that the truth is fiction by the way we live and by the lack of dedication to the teachings of our Lord. And that's Wednesday's Word. Once again, I'd love to hear from you on all social media platforms, whatever we've got, that I'm on, by the way. Love to hear from you. On that note, have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. Have a wonderful rest of your July into the eighth month of the year. God bless you. And on that note, have a pure and holy life. Bye-bye.